Philippians chapter number 4. And let's start reading at verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, dear Lord, for this church. Thank you so much, Lord. What a church. What a wonderful place. What a wonderful spirit. I just sense the spirit of the Lord in this place. And there is a joy in this place. And Lord, I thank you for the pastor. And thank you, Lord, for his dear wife. And thank you for all the dear faithful members of this church who go together as a body and make up this wonderful, effective, soul-winning, vibrant church. And I thank you for it. But Lord, I know this. Even in a church like this, we all fight battles. And we all have an adversary, and he never lets up. And we all still have to live in this body of flesh. One of these days, this robe of flesh will drop and we'll rise to seize the everlasting prize. But Lord, until then, we're still here in this body of flesh, and we have to wrestle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd give me liberty tonight to preach and the power of God, and help me, Lord. Help me not to say anything that I should not say, and help me not to leave out anything that needs to be said. And let me be a blessing and a help to these dear people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Thank you for coming back on Sunday night. We just read about rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, the joy of the Lord. I like those verses over in Proverbs that talk about a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart is a continual feast. A merry heart, it's three different places it talks about that merry heart. What it'll do for you to have a merry heart. We need that. There's no need for me to preach tonight about the downward spiral of America. We can all see it. We can all see it. It looks like to me God has given us a little window of hope. I don't have a television. I thank God I don't. But we stay a lot with my wife's mom and dad, and they watch Fox News. And they were watching the briefings, you know, during the day, those briefings. Every now and then I'd look in, see a little bit. And I did see the one where they had Donald Trump invited Mike Lindell, the man who invented MyPillow, to come up and give a little talk about what his company was doing, you know, to help out in this pandemic. It's a panic-demic, if you ask me. But anyway, he came up and he gave his little speech about his company. And then I watched him. He turned his paper over and he said, I've got something else I'd like to say. And he gave a testimony. He said back in 2016, he said, God delivered us, more or less. God gave us a window of hope. And he said, this is the time, if you got to be in, pray with your family, read the Bible, and gave a spiritual word. And President Trump came up and said, well, I didn't know he was going to say that, but he didn't rebuke him either, amen. And I thank God that for any bright spot in this world, in this old dark world, we know there's a spiral downward. I'm hoping and praying we'll pull out of this, and that the economy can be revived, and we can go on and get back to normal, although I wonder, I guess we all wonder, will we ever get back to where we were? But there's no need for me to preach about all the negative things going on. We know that one of these days there is going to be a one world government. And we know that everybody is going to turn against Israel. And we know that there will be a leader, the beast, the Antichrist, and he will be that man who has all the answers. And you can just see it pointing that direction. I mean, you hear from Bill Gates talking about chips putting in us to all these things that they're talking about that are happening today. I think it was the leader in England talking and saying, he said, you know, in a time like this, we need a leader that can lead the world and talk like that. And a man told us in Rockford, Illinois, about 2 weeks ago, he said, you know, he said, when I go in to drive my truck, he said, they scan my forehead. They scan my forehead. I can't get in that truck until they scan my forehead. Now, he said, I know right now it's just for temperature. But, you know, the Bible does say about something about the forehead. The Bible talks about that, and the Bible talks about what the things that we're seeing take place right now. This man said, he said, I don't know if we are that generation. But he said, we're being prepped and we're being groomed. America is to become that generation that will accept all this and accept this one world globalism. We're heading that way. But even though it's getting dark in America, my friend, we're the light of the world. God's people, we're the light of the world. We're the only light this world has. And we can't afford to get down. We can't afford to let the devil quench our light or quench our joy. We need to keep the joy of the Lord. We need to stay up in a world that's going down. And if you're a preacher here tonight, how many of you are preachers here? Would you raise your hand? If you're a preacher, I know we've got some here tonight. And as preachers, we can't afford. Well, I sure am blowing into that a lot. We can't afford to get down. We just can't afford it. We've got to stay up. And I've seen preachers get down. And I've seen preachers get down and pull everybody else down. And we can't afford to do that. As Christians, as God's children tonight, men and women, teenagers, and even children here tonight, we can't afford to get down. We've got to stay up because, you know, there's a man in the book of Isaiah, and you may never have noticed this man, but his name was Eliakim. And God said in the book of Isaiah, he said, I'm going to take this man Eliakim and put him over Jerusalem, give him an important position in Jerusalem. And here's what God said about this man. He said, I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and they shall hang upon him. And then he mentioned some precious things that would be hung upon this man who would be like a nail in a sure place. And you know, when I read that, I thought, you know what? Somebody's hanging on me. And somebody's hanging on you. You might be surprised who's watching you. You might be surprised who's being influenced by what you do or what you don't do. Somebody's listening to you. You know your children are. But it may be more than that. You might be surprised who is watching you. My pastor at Sugar Grove in Kentucky said one time he was going through Walmart. And he said, I'm just looking at things, walking through Walmart. And he said, after I'd been in there a while, he turned around. He said, there was this young man that I knew. And he said, I've been following you around the store. He said, I've been watching you. And I bet he's glad there's some places he didn't stop and look at anything he shouldn't have looked at. Amen. But somebody is hanging on you. And, you know, all through the Bible you find where God used somebody to influence somebody else. God even remembered somebody. Remember the story where God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But he got Lot and his family, those who would go, he got them out of the city before the fire fell. And you know, the Bible says that Lot went out of the city, and it says God remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham and brought Lot out of, and sent Lot out of Sodom. There's a man who got delivered because his uncle was a praying man who walked with God, the friend of God, and Lot was delivered because of that. And you know, there's so many stories. God, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he not only got saved from the flood, but others got saved because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible says there was a man named Laban. He was Jacob's uncle. and he was a deceitful man. Jacob got a taste of his own medicine from his uncle Laban. But when Jacob got ready to leave Laban, here's what Laban said. He said, "Stay with me. Don't go." He said, "The Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." That's what he said. The Lord has blessed me for thy sake. And can I tell you tonight, my friend, God can bless others for your sake. God can do that. God can help others. Now, he won't save a soul against their will, but he can sure make people miserable. He can sure bring conviction upon people. If we walk with God, get our prayers answered, and be a good testimony for the Lord. I like that story about Joseph and how God, it's amazing how Joseph got to Egypt. And it all looks bad. It looks like a terrible story. But in the end of all that, when Joseph sat upon the throne with Pharaoh and was saving his family from starvation, he said, "God sent me before you to preserve a posterity and to save your lives." He said, "God sent me before you." And God used Joseph to save that family. And my friend, somebody's hanging on you. We can't afford to get down. Dad, you can't afford to get down. You've got a wife depending on you, children depending on you. You've got to do whatever it takes to stay up and be positive. And mom, you can't afford to get down. You need to be a joyful mother of children. You need to have the joy of the Lord. Your children need to look at you and see the love of God in you and the sweet spirit of God in you. We had an evangelist come to our church in Iowa. I wasn't there, but Brother Brown told about it. And he said this evangelist stood up. If I mentioned his name, some of you would know it. And he made this statement. He said, "My mother almost sent me to hell." He said, "My mother almost sent me to hell." He said, "She was a downer. She was depressed. She was gloomy." He said, "Oh, she was saved and she lived a Christian life. But," he said, "I looked at her and thought, I don't want what she's got." And you know, he did dabble a little bit in sin before God got a hold of him and got him to be an evangelist and serve him. But my friend, somebody needs to see you being up. A lot of people do. And so here's some ways tonight. Just, I'm not going to preach a long message tonight, but number one, if we want to stay up in a world that's going down, then my friend, get up in the morning and meet with God. I told you I was going to talk about that. I can't help it. Because years ago, I was just like this. I was up and down and up and down and up and down in my early Christian life. I read my Bible a little bit at night. I prayed a little bit at night before I went to bed. But I never heard anybody say, get up in the morning and meet with God. Finally, I heard a message on that, and a man mentioned that, and I began to do it. I began to get up earlier, and I read some in the Bible. I began to get on my knees and spend some time in prayer, and I noticed a difference in my life. There was a new stability there. There was new strength in my life. There was more joy in my life. And just by putting God first, doesn't the Bible say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God"? What more practical way could you do it than to get up every morning and put God first in your day? You know what? God fed his people in the morning. The manna fell in the morning. God spoke from Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, in the morning. You check it out. It was the morning when God spoke to his people. And I believe God wants to feed us every morning. And God wants to speak to us every morning. My friend, we get on our knees, we talk to God, and we open up this book, and God talks to us. And we need to do that in the morning. Many things happen in the morning. He said, "I want a sacrifice in the morning." We're to be a living sacrifice. It's a good thing every morning get up and say, "Lord, here I am. I'm yours today." And God said, "I want you to burn incense in the morning." That represents praise and prayer. These are the Israelites. He said, "I want you to keep the fire burning and put wood on the fire." Put wood on the fire every morning. Put some wood on the fire. Amen. Keep the fire burning. So my friend, I get from that, God does some things in the morning, and God wants to bless us and prepare us for the day in the morning. There were great men that all through the Bible, Abraham, Moses, we mentioned Job today, how he would get up early and pray for his children. Joshua got up early. Jesus got up early. And when a great while before day, went into a solitary place and prayed. Our Savior, our example. And then there's David. David, the man after God's own heart. You say, well, what made David a man after God's own heart? What separated him from every other man? Why did God? It wasn't David who said that. It wasn't Samuel who said that. It was God who said, I found a man after my own heart. One characteristic of David was he met with God in the morning. I mean, in Psalm 5, he said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I lift up my voice and look up. Psalm 5. Psalm 63, early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. Psalm 143, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, O Lord. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. David got up early and met with God. Some of the greatest men. You've heard of George Mueller, the great man of faith. What faith he had. How God used George Mueller. He said, the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day is to have my soul happy in the Lord. Get your soul happy in the Lord. And that takes some time with God. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Amen. Somebody, I hope tonight, will decide, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up in the morning, read my Bible, spend some time in prayer, and meet with God and put God first in my day. I hope some people tonight will do that. By the way, some of you might say, yeah, I used to do that. I used to do that. I got away from that. I hope you'll get back to it. I hope you'll get back to it, my friend. We need the joy of the Lord. We need the power of God, the presence of God. We just need it. I like this. Copied this down in my Bible years ago. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. And His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with His presence left behind. So I think I learned the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek Him in the morning if you want Him through the day. And I hope you'll remember that and begin to seek God in the morning. Stay up in a world that's going down. Number two, don't live in the land of bad news. If you want to stay up in a world that's going down, don't live in the land of bad news. I preached this in a church one time in Michigan, and a man walked up to me, and I could tell what by his face he was not a joyful man. And that man walked up with his long face, and he said, I live in the land of bad news. His wife worked. He was disabled, I think, and he stayed at home, and he watched all that negative news. My friend, America's gone news crazy. I remember when I'm not that old. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm not that old, but I remember a time when they had the 6 o'clock news at night. Walter Cronkite, somebody would come on, give the news. That was it. Maybe a half an hour, maybe an hour of news. That was it. Who would ever think we'd come to a place we've got entire networks all day long, 24/7. And if you've ever been in a hospital in the middle of the night, and they've got that television going, it's the same thing over and over. The same pictures, the same gloom, the same doom. There's hardly any good news at all. It's bad. Don't live in the land of bad news. You say, well, I need to be informed. I agree with you. And there are places. My wife's got an app, is that right, on your phone? And you can get news. You can get some Christian news. You can get that with all the... without getting all that negative and all that slant, all that fake news, you can get some Christian news. I agree, you need to be informed. But you know what? Some people, they get so informed that they're deformed. Amen, they are. It'll take away your joy. Hey, my friend, you don't need to know everything. God knows everything. He can handle it. Amen? He can handle it. God knows everything, but you don't need to know everything. The Bible says in James, be not many masters. But there are some people, they've tried to master the news. They want to know everything there is to know about the news, and they want to be able to spill it out to anybody that wants to know. My friend, you'd be better off staying this news. Amen. Meditate on these things.
Hey, does that go along with what we read in Philippians? All this news that is out there? You know, there are some people, man, in the morning it's Glenn Beck, and then it's Rush Limbaugh, and then it's Sean Hannity, and then who knows, Mark Levin, and all that. I mean, all of these men may have something good to say, but brother, if you live in that world, listening to that all the time, you know, you're either going to be very sad or very mad. And you know what? We don't need to be either. We need to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Don't live in the land of bad news. God tells us what to think about. Whatsoever things are true. So that puts out fake news. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. I can't help but notice when I'm around the television now, you know what? They don't pick out an ugly woman to give the news. And be on these talk shows, man, they got to look like a model, and many of them dress indecent. And I'll tell you, if the devil can't get you one way, if he can't get you watching a soap opera or watching some primetime sitcom or something like that, he'll get you with the news and put something ungodly before your eyes. I just read this morning, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's a good verse. You know what I got in my Bible beside that? Television. I'm not going to set it before my eyes. Now, I know that's not for everybody. I know that. But it might be for somebody tonight. Amen. But don't live in the land of bad news. Keep your mind on good things, right things, spiritual things, positive things. Keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. We've got to stay up in a world that's going down. Here's another thing, my friend. Choose cheerful companions. Amen. The company that you keep can make you or break you. It really can. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." I don't believe God would be upset one bit if I acknowledge that truth. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. I believe we could also say, he that walketh with happy men, more likely to be happy. He that walketh with spiritual men or women is more likely to be spiritual. He that walketh with negative people you're very likely to catch what they've got and become negative. You know, a lady years ago wanted to counsel with Brother Brown, Brother Larry Brown, who was pastor at Marion Avenue. And she said, "I'm depressed. I'm depressed." And Brother Brown, after she said she was depressed a while, Brother Brown looked at her and said, "Have you been talking about me?" He said, that woman just stared. "How did you know?" He said, "I've seen where your car's been parked." She'd been visiting a friend, a person who was very negative, been spending time. And now that woman had caught that old negative spirit and that critical spirit, and she was down. You need to avoid, and somebody might say tonight, "Brother Epley, I can't avoid it. I'm married to a man. I'm married to a man who is so negative. I'm married to a man that is a downer. He doesn't have joy. Seldom has a good word." And it might be the other way around. A man may say, "Oh, Brother Epley, that's good preaching, but you don't know my wife. You don't know what my wife is like. She can be so negative. She can be so critical. Sometimes I can't do anything right." You say, "Brother Epley, what can I do?" Pray. Pray. Amen. Pray. Divorce is not the answer. God's not for that. But you need to pray. And you know what? Maybe they're listening tonight. Maybe he or she is listening to this message tonight, and maybe God will turn a light on in their head and say, "Hey, that's you. What kind of a husband are you? What kind of a life does your wife have, living with a man that's so negative and so down and seldom has the joy of the Lord in his heart?" Maybe God will bring that to their attention tonight. Avoid spending time with negative people. I think we need to be nice to people. We need to be a witness to everybody. We need to go out and knock on doors. Amen. And we need to tell people about the Lord and hand out tracts. And we need to have some measure of friendship with people out there who are lost in sin, but I'm talking about the people that you choose to spend your time with. You choose to be around them. You choose to make them your friend. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. And I think tonight we could say, don't make a friendship with a negative, down, critical person. I heard, anybody ever hear Doug Fisher from California preach? Doug Fisher. He's an unusual man. He's a great man. And I heard Brother Doug Fisher preaching one time. I believe it was at John Jenkins' camp meeting up in Michigan. And he said, one time I took a walk out on this wharf where there were a lot of fishermen out there. He said, I just walked out, just taking a walk. And he said, I saw these men over here, and they were catching crabs. They'd stick a line down in the water, and that crab would grab hold, and they'd pull him up and put him in the bucket. And he said, I stood there a while, and I said to those men, he said, hey, fellas, said, you forgot to put a cover on the bucket. You forgot to cover up your bucket. He said, they looked at me like, are you crazy? You don't know anything, do you, about catching crabs? One of them looked at him and said, we don't have to worry about that. Every time one starts to crawl up out of that bucket, the others reach up and pull him down. Hey, my friend, don't be a crab. Amen. Don't be a crab. Don't be like that. Amen. We need to be pushing up on people. We need to be pulling up on people. Amen. And try to help people as we go through life. My son Gabe, who is up in Holland, Michigan, and called today. By the way, he's the one who was a prodigal son. And God has done a work. And he called today telling his mother what a wonderful, wonderful service they had today. He said God was just there. And he has a wife named Vanessa. And I'm proud of Vanessa, his wife. Somebody came up to her one time in the church and said, we're leaving this church and I want to tell you why. And Vanessa said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But I'll tell you, backbiters and gossips, they'll circle the field, come back in for another landing and try again. And this person did, said, well, let me just tell you why we're leaving. And Vanessa said, I don't want to hear it. God has helped us through this church, and I don't want to hear anything negative about it. And I thank God for my daughter-in-law. Last point tonight, somebody say amen. Now, this point is an hour long, but no, I'm kidding. No, I've got one more thing that I'll just mention maybe after this, but here's something. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Here's something tonight that you may not think much about. You may not realize the importance of it. But if you want to stay up in a world that's going down, you need to listen to the right kind of music. You really do. And this is not a commercial, because we've got some CDs. It's not a commercial. God knows I don't do commercials. I never say anything about a CD unless the pastor tells me to do that. I don't even put them out in the church unless the pastor tells me, or somebody representing the pastor tells me to put the CDs out. I'm not in it for that. A dear man told me before service, he said that song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. He said, thank you for singing that. He said, when my wife passed away, he said, I must have listened to that song 100 times. And it helped me. It helped me through. That's why we make CDs. That's why we make them. And this is not a commercial, but my friend, I think none of us tonight realize the power of music. How powerful it is. I mean, it's so powerful. Think about it. Music can make you so sad. Music can make you mad. Music can make you lust. Oh, how it can. Music can make you want to speed up. Or it can make you want to slow down. Music can give you courage. Well, you know, some of the military music where they're beating those drums and playing those trumpets, I believe it just instilled courage. Back in the Civil War, they'd blow that trumpet, and it would give men courage to go out to battle. You know what? Music can even bring fear. It can bring fear into your life. You know that old Andy Griffith, where called the Haunted House, where Opie hits a ball and it goes through the window of this old house. And so they go up to get their baseball, but there's a moonshiner in there. There's a moonshiner set up in that old house, and he doesn't want anybody to find him. So he goes, woo, and it scares Opie to death. And so they go back and they tell Andy and tell Barney, that house is haunted. That baseball's in there. And the house is haunted. And old Barney, you know, he steps up. Hey, he said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And so then Andy says, well, Barney, why don't you go get the baseball? What? Me? And so he drafts Gomer to go with him. You remember that? And they go walking up, and the music that they play, that woo, I mean, it scares you to death. And it's broad daylight. And they're walking up, that music playing. You're scared. I mean, watching. And, of course, the old moonshiner makes a noise again, and Barney takes off. And he goes back, and he says, I thought you said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. He said, that's what I've got, fear itself. But I'm telling you, music can scare you to death. You can take the same scene and change the music and it has totally different effect. The power of music, and God knew that. And you know, a lot of people believe that Lucifer was maybe the choir director in heaven. That he was a musical being. You can find it in Ezekiel where he had musical instruments built into him. And he knows how to use music. Oh, how he knows how to use music. There has now used to just be rock music. Now there's all kinds of rock music. There's even satanic rock music. There's blasphemous rock music. They blaspheme the Son of God. And it's out there, all different kinds. My friend, we need to listen to God's music. We need to only listen to God's, only listen to it. I mentioned country music this morning. I think most of God's people know rock music is of the devil. Let me hear a good amen. Hey, you don't have to even look in the Bible. You don't have to have John the Baptist or some great preacher or Brother Ross or anybody tell you that rock music of the devil. They will tell you that themselves. The rock musicians will say, while we're up there playing, something takes over. There's a force. There's something moving. There's something else playing that guitar. There's something else beating those drums. I've read those testimonies. And they know it's satanic. Some even come out and say it is the devil's music. Some of them even come out and say it's the music of sex, and we know it. And they know that. God's people need to know it. And I think most of them do, but I think a lot of God's people have not yet realized the damaging effect of country music. Oh, I know you might say, well, they sing a good song every now and then. They sang a love song about a man and his wife. They sang a patriotic song now and then. And that man says he's a Christian. Well, why isn't he singing for God? If he's a Christian, why isn't he singing God's music? Amen, all the time. I'm telling you, country music will cause you to love this world. It will dampen your love for God. It will put a chill in your spirit. It will give you an appetite for things that you should not have an appetite for. Country music, stay away from it. Listen to God's music and God's music only. The Bible says we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, and then it says speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Turn with me over to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, say, wait a minute. Okay. I'm not there myself. 2 Kings chapter 3. Boy, won't you be glad when Brother Ross gets back, get a little sanity back in the pulpit here. Amen. Brother Ross would never tell about Barney Fife in the pulpit, I know. 2 Kings chapter number 3. A story here where Jehoshaphat, one of my favorite Bible characters, is going out to battle with two other kings, and they're going against the Moabites. And they've got a battle plan. They're going to go around the back way and sneak up on the Moabites, but they get out in the wilderness and they run out of water. They don't have any water to drink. They're about to die. And so one of them says, hey, Elisha the prophet is just over here. And let's go and ask him what to do. And so they go to Elisha. And Elisha hears their dilemma. And then here's what it says in chapter 3 and verse 15. Here's what Elisha said. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Did you ever notice that verse? You won't find many greater men than Elisha. I mean, he's the one that said to Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit, and it looks like he got it. The power of God was all over Elisha. He was a man of God. God used him to raise the dead. God used him to perform many miracles. And here's this dear man of God, and he's seeking God to know how to help Jehoshaphat and these other kings. And he said, I want some music. I want a minstrel to come and play. And I know that's not the requirement to hear from God, to have music. But in this case, I think it's significant that a man with the power of God and the mind of God, like Elisha, would desire some spiritual music while he sought the Lord, and then the hand of the Lord came upon him. Now, let me show you something else. While we're in the neighborhood, 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I got some good news for you. I've decided this will be my last point. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And verse number 14, you know the story about Saul, how Saul turned away from God and was turned into a madman. And an evil spirit would afflict him. And when this evil spirit would come upon King Saul, he would grab a spear and throw it at somebody. And he became violent. Nobody could trust him. We're in 1 Samuel 16. And so they came up with a plan. They said, look, his servant said, when this evil spirit comes upon Saul, let's call somebody who can play a harp and play some beautiful music, some soothing music. And you know who they got? They got David. They got David to come and play the harp for Saul whenever that evil spirit would come upon him. Look at verse 23 now. Chapter 16 and verse 23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. That's amazing. You know, David, if he was playing something, it was religious. If he was playing something, it was about God. And he would play on that harp, and that evil spirit would say, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Because of this godly music. My friend, if there is that much power in music, if music can drive away an evil spirit, think about this. I believe music can also invite evil spirits. I believe music can invite evil spirits right into your life, into your home, into your family. And so, my friend, we need music that exalts the Lord, music that will keep our eyes on God, some good, happy music, joyful music, worship music. I'm not talking about contemporary. I tell you, when whoever believed that they would bring rock music... Rock music, rock beats, and rock instruments, and all that into a church, and people would fall for it and think they're worshiping God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Staying up in a world that's going down. Could I ask you tonight, are you up? Are you up? I know when we come to church, everybody has learned how to put on a big smile and come in and shake hands and seem like everything's all right. But my friend, when you get back home and there's nobody watching, there's no need to put on a show, no need to impress anybody. When you get back home, are you a joyful Christian? Are you joyful? Would your wife say tonight, my husband is a joyful Christian? It's a joy to live with him. Would your wife say tonight, my husband is joyful? Would you, if you're a husband tonight, would your wife say that about you? If you're a wife, would your husband say that about you? Oh, my wife's joyful. She loves the Lord. She's a joy to live with. What do the children say about mom and dad? You know, teenagers come to a place where they're, no matter how good they may look, there's a battle going on inside. The old devil's pulling and the old devil's lying and the old devil is deceiving and there's a battle going on. Which way am I going to go? And if they look at a mom and dad that it looks like Christianity's just a dull routine, they may take another look. Father, I pray tonight you'd use this message, this very simple message. Meet with God in the morning. Don't live in the land of bad news. Choose cheerful companions and listen to the right kind of music. Lord, very simple things, nothing profound. But it could change somebody's life. I know that. And I pray you do a work during the invitation. Maybe somebody needs to get saved. Somebody might have heard me tonight talking about how I got saved by just finally just trusting the Lord. Feeling or no feeling, just trust in the Lord. Somebody might say tonight, that's what I need to do. Get this thing settled and just trust Jesus Christ. Lord, do a work in our invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.